Gut Wrench presents My Mama's Daddy by Alex Ridgway, performed by Paris Sauter. My fraternal grandmother told me once about a whale that poisoned the farm where she was raised. Over a few weeks, the ecosystem of that plantation withered into a black, lifeless state, unable to support what otherwise survived there. Anything that used that water, the trees, livestock, crops, and wild animals became turgid in their suffering. The parts death couldn't take scattered, driven by the trauma of what happened. Eventually, the groundwater was treated, but remnants of what happened were still there. They sold that place, paved it over, turning it into a brown patch of nothing with a four-lane highway bisecting it like a gray scar. The same way I asked how the water got poisoned, I wondered about my grandfather, about what desires made him want to end himself slowly and to inflict pain on his own kin, that want not only for death, but for the negation of all that made him alive and the good he might have done. Whatever reasons he had, I know now are something impenetrable to me and Granddad himself. Or maybe there were no reasons. It could have been an accidental collision of nature, incident and habit that led to all that destruction. I've accepted none of us will ever know why, but even if we did, would it still linger over my family? Would it make it easier to bear? For my entire upbringing, I heard very little about him. There were some details Mama would gloss over, allusions to a lost family fortune, his drinking and miseries he caused, usually told in vagaries. As I've gotten older, Mama's up more about living with that man.
"He used to hold us up at gunpoint sometimes," she said once. "There were two pistols he kept locked up in his study, where he kept his sniffers of brown liquor and gin. On the days when he could get out of bed, he'll go in there for hours and try to read or write letters, but mostly he'll just get into those bottles. The pistols were a gift from his father when he got back from Korea. Pearl handle, silver metallic finish. This was back when our mills were open. Daddy always said, we built this goddamn town. Us. People of good stock who made it a decent place to raise a family. It's our blood on this place. Then he go back to drinking, cigarette in his mouth, next one in his ear. He tried to keep them pistols clean. He had the polish and the fluid, but his hands would usually shake too much when he worked on them. I remember the night, first Saturday in May. It was junior prom. I was wearing chiffon and my hair was over a foot high. Daddy come into the living room with one of those pistols in his hand. Me, Bobby, Dennis, and Ray were eating dinner when he made us line up on the couch. Then he turned on the TV. This asshole, Ed Sullivan, disseminating his faggot agenda on our young people. It was actually Edward Murrow on the news that came on, but no one wanted to correct him. Anyway, he'll go on for a few minutes, carrying on, when I looked at the clock. My date was going to be there soon. Just then, I went up to him and said, Daddy, hurry up. I need to finish getting ready. No one talked to him like that. Ever. He didn't really know what to do. After a minute, he said, oh, now they've gotten to you, and started calling me all sorts of names. He started shaking really bad after that. Tremors everywhere, in his eyes, his feet, his legs, and hands. Suddenly, bang! Then everything went dark all over the house. When his hand twitched, he fired off a round that went struck the fuse box downstairs. I wanted to cry, but then my date arrived. I went to the door, shut it behind me. The boy never asked me what happened. We just left everyone there. I had a great time. Sometimes I wonder if that's why I married him so young. Not your father, but my first husband. Mama eventually tells me, We had money. Oh, God, we had some money. We owned that textile mill in the center of town. Now nothing's there. And we always treated people with respect and paid an honest day's wage, even the blacks and the Italians. We let them unionize. And because of our capital, people had homes, cars, making $25 to $30 an hour. Then Pop-Pop, your great-grandfather, died, and the place went to Daddy. Daddy, by that point, didn't care about nothing but that bottle. But he was too proud to sell. Any time Mama even brought up the point, he'd start breaking things, putting his hands all over. I give him this, though. He tried to keep it afloat. Mortgaged our home twice, sold everything we had. Then everything went belly up. I was second year at Vandy at the time. It was a long time before I visit home after that. At the time, I hated him for all of it, for everything. Not just the drinking and the abuse and the factory, but for all that we lost. I got married not long after that. I needed the support. I was afraid to do it on my own. Dropped out of school, pregnant with Sissy at 21. But I wasn't a person then. I had no ideas or abilities, not really any interests of my own. Just young and selfish. I suppose it was my way of coping with Daddy. Or my own inborn weaknesses were just magnified by living with that man for so long. I never considered that my mother was brave during my own adolescence. Everything idiosyncratic about her that came as a result of her youth, her hatred for the smell of tobacco smoke, the extravagant punishments her children got for drinking, seemed arbitrary. Not once did I think perhaps there was some hidden purpose to them. I might not ever tell her this, but I see the heroism and what she did to survive. Not only my grandfather, but a bad marriage, work that took away her youth and vitality. To be fair, she doesn't take to these sorts of compliments well. Goddamn treacle is how she refers to them. But I made it out, she goes on, and I don't think it made me a worse person either. And now I have my own life to show for it. But I'm a little tired of talking about it. We have some more tea. And Mama starts in on my love life again. I demur. People have a right to their own secrets, I told her. But we can have a conversation about it later. When? She asks. When it all starts to make sense, I replied. Recorded at ARTC Studio. Recording engineer, David Benedict.